The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm honored and excited to have Adam Balsinger here from Three Oaks Management with us today. Adam, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, Cody. Thanks so much, man, for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Appreciate you coming in. Hey, before we get started with our topic today, Adam, just for those that maybe don't know you or haven't connected with you in the community, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about your background, how you got into real estate, what kind of real estate you're investing in today, and kind of where you're from, that kind of stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So I am an entrepreneur first and a real estate investor second. Out of college, I ran a outsourced sales business for several years, door-to-door, business-to-business, commission-based, cold calling, impulse sales. So about the hardest sale that you can possibly think of, that's what we were doing. You know, I traveled all over the place building teams in that business, New York, Detroit, Chicago. I was super young, super immature. I made probably every mistake that you could possibly think of. But after a couple of years, it started to get some momentum at our plate. We were selling electricity for a regional energy supplier in Chicago. And I had like 37 commission-based sales reps traipsing around Chicago in the winter going B2B. And so we got pretty good at it after a while. Long story short, I got kind of burned out in that business. I had traveled so much and you know, left friends and family behind. So even when I wasn't working, the people I hung out with outside of work worked for me. So I was really never off. And I just didn't really see a way out of that business. It felt like I was going to be running, you know, kind of burning the candle at both ends for the forever. So I wound up leaving that business. I did a couple sales jobs here and there, kind of licking my wounds, trying to figure out what my next move was going to be. And the intent was really always to still run my own business. And so the thing that I loved about sales was that it was a repeatable process. You learn it once, you repeat the same steps, and you know, you can do a million sales if you figure out how to do one. You've just got to put yourself in front of enough people and have the guts to take enough no's. The thing that was really cool to me about real estate was that it was very similar. You learn how to analyze one deal and you can analyze every deal. You learn how to flip one house, you can flip a million houses. Again, you just have to kiss enough frogs. You got to make enough offers. You got to get out there and kind of, you know, put your nose to the grindstone in order to do it. So I was doing fix and flips. I've been full-time real estate now for like 7 or so years-ish. I'm really bad with dates and time.
Okay. Yeah.
I started out actually doing fix and flips. The goal was to take profits from my fix and flips and sink them into rental property, to income producing real estate. I hated doing fix and flips. I did not like dealing with contractors. It felt like it was always a battle to try to get your job done per the signed and mutually agreed upon scope of work. I was like, why are we even signing this if we're going to fight about it over like every step of the way? So that business wound up morphing itself into a wholesaling business, which I still run and operate. I'm in Charlotte right now, but I'm originally from Philadelphia. That's where my wholesaling business is, in Philly. I had acquired about 18 doors during, you know, the first couple of years, single family, duplex, triplex, you know, small apartments, stuff like that. And, you know, some I owned outright, others there were some notes on, you know, kind of like Burr method, right? Which everybody loves the Burr method.
Right.
And dude, I got to be honest, like the money that we were making for the amount of time and effort that it took to run those small rental properties, it was just, the juice was just not worth the squeeze. In my opinion, there's absolutely nothing passive about owning rental real estate, especially if it's small rental real estate. It went from fighting with contractors to fighting with property managers to a certain extent, right? You really got to hold their feet to the fire to get your properties to perform. You know, I still believed in rental real estate and income producing real estate as a great wealth building vehicle. But it became a question of how do I scale this? Because at the rate that I'm going, I'm going to need like 1,000 of these to be able to be financially independent and financially free. And I'm going to be dead by then. Like, right. Forget about, yeah, 65 and retired had I been working for somebody else. So it just wasn't making sense. And that's what led me to multifamily syndication.
Perfect. Well, hey, I can relate to a lot of that. previous B2B person here myself. And a lot of those times you just got to get a lot of reps. I remember those early days making the cold calls. I'll never forget. I had my boss sit on some of my early cold calls and just listen to me leave voicemails and try intros. And it was awful. Yeah. I remember one time he just looked up and looked at me, and he's still a close friend to this day, but he looked at me and goes, "What was that?" Yeah. And I said, "I don't know. We worked on it. We got it." But to your point, it's all about reps and getting those reps in and understanding. But once you understand your process in whatever you're selling, whether it's for a corporation or your own stuff, like once you understand a process and have your process hammering it home, you can do it a lot of times for anything else.
You know, the crazy thing about the social media world is that we all see the finished product.
Yeah.
Right. We all see the person, the successful person. And dude, that's one of the reasons I like love your podcast, the idea of your podcast talking about the bumps and the bruises and the scars that we got on the way to that success. It's like, well, how do you get a six pack? You eat healthy and you do a buttload of crunches.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. So you're talking about reps, like get down on the ground and do your core exercises. Right. That's how you do it. And everybody wants the easy path and how do I speed? And it's like, look, some things you just can't speed up. You just have to build it and you have to put in the time and you have to put in the effort. Like Elon Musk talks about this on his social media feeds. Like people say that I'm lucky. He's like, if lucky is working 14 hour days, 7 days a week for 17 years, then yeah, like I'm super lucky. But nobody sees that.
Right. Everyone sees the finished product, which is, again, brings us here today to talk a little bit about what were your bumps and bruises? What are things that maybe or a story or an experience that you can give our audience here to learn from or to think about whether they're finding themselves in a situation like that currently or if down the road they find themselves in a situation like that? What's an experience maybe you've had where you came out a little bit better for the wear, but definitely with some bruises and scars?
I invested, and actually so did my partner, that's how we met, in a multifamily syndication guru program. I have always been a firm believer of hiring coaches, paying for learning, paying for training, because I think that expedites your learning curve. You've got to learn it. So if you can pay somebody to speed up the process, I'm a fan. And the guru program was very good. Okay. So what I'm about to say, I don't want you to take as a knock on the program. They were teaching you to go out and look for deal parameters that just Cody flat out don't exist in today's market. You know, here's somebody who's coaching hundreds, probably thousands of students to look for certain parameters, cash on cash, DCR, cap rate, and it doesn't exist. You can't find it anywhere. Maybe if you are looking at a D property that is in the absolute middle of nowhere in a market that is so small, it doesn't even qualify as being tertiary, you might find it, right?
Right. Sounds like a great opportunity to invest.
So yeah, man. So we were, you know, I'm originally from Philadelphia. My partner's originally from New York. So we were looking at a couple areas in the Northeast originally when we linked up, trying to divide and conquer. And, you know, we wanted to choose a market or two to focus in. We wanted it to be not too far that we could get there in a short period of time. And, you know, we weren't generating any revenue yet. So we didn't want to be spending a ton of money schlepping back and forth between markets when there was no income coming in. And so we were looking, we were doing the wine and dine with the brokers, you know, submitting. There was nothing, Cody, that was coming even remotely close to where we were looking, the parameters that I mentioned that we were looking for. And so what wound up happening was we became like a dog chasing a bone. We went from those two or three select markets that we were looking at to, oh, well, maybe those numbers exist over here. You know, then we're in Ohio and then we're in Indiana and then we're in Kentucky and Arkansas. And it like we fast forward a year and I joked that we were looking at everything east of the Mississippi.
Right. Right.
And yeah. Probably some a little west of the Mississippi, too. So I think that happens to so many people is that they do not allow themselves the opportunity to develop a deep enough relationship or deep enough relationships with professionals in the market that they want to be in. They're not understanding what they can do in today's market and they're busy focused on like this cap rate and they're not delving into the deal enough. They don't really understand what their investors are necessarily looking for. They're just constantly jumping from market to market to market to market, and they never allow themselves the opportunity to get any momentum going. And we were total, like, we did the exact same thing. And so 2 years in, we were nowhere, spinning our wheels for, and, you know, we're all investing time and effort into this, you know, time away from my girlfriend, who is now my wife, right? My girlfriend, my now wife, and I actually moved to Charlotte for her job from Philadelphia. I was doing my wholesale thing, trying to grow the real estate. And I was like, I can do this from anywhere. So we could literally go anywhere, you know, for her work. So we came to Charlotte, and it just so happened that Charlotte was a great market. There's a lot of growth. It's an emerging market. It's not just Charlotte. North Carolina is growing like crazy. Pockets of South Carolina are growing like crazy. And so when shortly after I relocated here, we had a conversation that was like, we need to refocus. We need to pick a market and actually stick to it this time. And that was really one of the things that helped us to start to gain some traction and gain some momentum. We don't have 1,000+ doors. You know, we're still building ourselves up, but we went from, you know, bouncing from market to market, needing to relearn the market every single time, to now we've got 3 deals that we've closed. One's here in Charlotte, one's in South Carolina, one's just over the border in Georgia, in Atlanta. And that happened through relationships that we developed as we were really focused here. So we've got 3 deals as GPs right now, 204 doors, and we're working on 3 new deals. So it took us 4 years to get 3 deals under our belt. You know, in 2019, our first one hit. 2020, our second one hit, did one at the very beginning of this year. And right now, with those 3 deals we're working on, in the next 3 months, we will more than double the size of our portfolio. It starts to really, that momentum really starts to build. But had we not refocused our attention and selected an actual market and stuck to it this time around, instead of just saying we were going to stick to it, then, you know, we could still be spinning our wheels and looking, you know, all over the country.
Sure. Well, and I think that's good advice for anybody, especially those that are maybe starting to get into it or find themselves where you were a couple of years ago, looking, been in it maybe for a year or so. They're looking, they're not finding the ideal solution or the right investment property. I love the idea of honing in and owning your market. For those that are at that space or wanting to get there, where are the relationships that you saw or the types of relationships you saw that added the most value that ultimately blossomed into some of these opportunities that y'all have closed and are going to close here in the near future?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a combination, but, you know, if I had this, you know, if you said gun to your head, you know, pick 2 types of people that you should be looking to develop and build relationships with: commercial real estate brokers, number 1, property managers, number 2. The well-connected people in those 2 sections or those 2 segments are going to be able to connect you with other people as well. You know, you meet your contractors through those people, you meet your attorneys a lot of times through those people. And so it's just a matter of developing that relationship, adding value to those individuals. And then now they're adding value. It's the law of reciprocation, where you can add value to somebody else. And then now they almost feel obligated to or want to add value back to you. So those would be 2 that I would really encourage people to focus on. And I mean real relationships, not like superficial, hey, what do you got? Send me a deal. Like actually trying to find some commonality, some common ground, learning what they like, learning what they're into. You know, everybody and their brother sends their brokers, you know, cookie baskets and Omaha steaks and whatever. So you want to send somebody something if they're adding value to your business, but try to make it relevant to them. What do they like? You know, what's going on in their life? And those things will really help to separate you from the rest of the pack.
I love that. That's a great call out about really honing in on building the relationship and setting yourself apart. But it has to be a relationship. And I think the big thing when you look at relationships, and correct me if I'm speaking out of turn here, but when you're building relationships, you have to be thinking, what can I bring to this relationship and add value as opposed to take value away? I want to make this person have an easier path or bring something to their attention that they would benefit from? What value am I bringing, or how can I support or help them in their career and their growth? And then it will reciprocate onto us, but only through that real relationship are you going to uncover that and work through that and then be able to mutually help each other out down the road.
Agreed. Yeah, I think so many people think like, oh, I'm just going to call them every 2 weeks and ask if they have anything new, when we're talking specifically about a broker, right? Like, that's not a relationship.
Right.
That's you being needy and just bugging someone.
Right. Yeah. Like,
there's a difference between those two.
Yeah, things. Those emails aren't getting read at all. Well, Adam, I really appreciate that. I think that's as good a place as ever to kind of wrap it up and, you know, giving our audience a lot of things to think about as they're on their journey. Maybe they're looking at new markets, or they find themselves where you were, trying to focus on a bunch of different markets and it's not going as according to plan. Maybe they can take a different approach and really hone in and build those relationships in a particular market and really sink their teeth into it and be those experts there and then see the fruits of their labor come to fruition. But Adam, for those that maybe want to connect with you, follow you, where's the best place that people can find you and get in touch with you?
Sure. So the best thing to do, I think, would be to follow me on Instagram. I put out a lot of different real estate related content on Instagram, some advanced, some more high level kind of beginner focused stuff. But I am at realestateadam7, all spelled normally.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Adam, thank you again so much for joining us today. Thank you again for the experience and the stories. And I very much appreciate the time out of your day.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Cody. It's fun.
Yes, sir. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.